Okay, Master Magician Lex Lonehood, of course, our illustrious webmaster, has found the invisibility techniques that I was telling you about. They're on the website. They are right around the harmonic concordance right underneath that. So those of you who would like to try it out, practice it. I don't know how long it'll take, maybe moments, maybe days, but do let me know what happens. Let me know if you indeed become invisible. There are 7 steps to become invisible, and there are a lot of people who swear by these techniques, and they say it works. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people who practice ninja, and they have done this before. So give it a try, and check in with me, and let me know what happens. Let's go back to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
How you doing there,
yeah,
George?
Great.
You know, I was the one who called a while ago, and I couldn't get a photo scan to you of a supposed boomer, well, more like a flying wing-styled unidentified object that was apparently plunged into the Baltic Sea that you had reported.
That's right. Okay. Now, tell me again, how did you get the photo?
Well, the strangest. Yeah, well, it was kind of like the guy who films those things called...
Oh, the rods?
Rods,
okay.
Yeah, in that sense, but it was just a cheap... I would just assume that's why, because I didn't see it in the air when I took the photo. I didn't see... I mean, I looked at the sky and the panorama. There was nothing up there. And so one would believe that it, you know, of course, is a dirt speck or something, but it looks way too uniform, and it's... It actually looks like it could be a very, very big, you know.
And you see shape to it?
Yeah, there's silver wings on it, and there's like a dark maroon color to the middle, which is quite large, you know, but it's a very strange dark maroon color. But you can see it's maroon, you know, and in the outside you can tell are silvery metallic winglet-looking things. Now, it would just came... You know, prior to you reporting that Baltic Sea report, and you might also know me as the analytical psychic.
That's you. So when are you going to get me this picture?
Well, you know what? I'm actually playing a game right now. It's the first time I've ever had a UFO photo in my entire life.
Yeah.
I've seen many UFOs, which is strange that I wouldn't just carry a camera wherever I went, but I have a feeling there's a reason for that. I've already gotten used to them. I don't need to see a ton of photos of them when I've seen them live. But I gotta say, though, that I have a feeling, I got some information about Yellowstone, okay? It hasn't, you know, I want to divulge it to you while I got a chance.
All right, divulge. And it, okay. But I really want to see this picture, so give
it
up. Yeah,
I'll try to some way in the future.
All
we
right.
will. But this this heating up of the underground, is actually caused by an artificial movements and or object impeding certain underground crust activities. And because it's not really movable, it's almost like in another subdimension that the activities that take place have to go in and around and creating Yellowstone in the first place.
How do you know
there
this?
For thousands upon thousands of years, and that's why Yellowstone is in fact acting, is why it's like it is. Now, I know that sounds far out there, but it's more or less equivalent to a base. If the Earth blew up tomorrow, it would still be sitting there. That's just a report I want to give you. Now, I will get this photo to you. I know it sounds out there.
All right, yeah, get that to me. But how do you know about Yellowstone?
The information doesn't come visually. It comes in ways that actually make me upset, in ways that I can't describe. But I can guarantee you that something is going to happen, and the extraterrestrials, if you may call them that, have actually implanted certain individuals that appear human in every way, shape, and form to be spread out upon the planet to, in fact, shore up by eventually coming out of the woodwork and shoring up the problems for the extraterrestrials so they don't have to do it, because for them to do it, it would also be obvious, and they would prefer if humans came up with the idea.
Well, you're not the first person to talk about disclosure occurring pretty soon, and But if you claim that there's a UFO base under Yellowstone and those objects are down there moving around, creating all this, send us proof. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, George. I'm so happy to be on. I've been wanting to be on for so long.
Well, you are on.
This is great. I have a UFO situation that I wanted to talk about.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada, from Vancouver.
All right, tell me about this.
Okay, this happened to me when I was 14, and I was living in Quito, Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to see my friend Doris in a military neighborhood. I don't think the base was actually there, but I was too young to remember that. I know her father was high up in the military, and they were living in this place called Bataan, and a lot of military folks lived there. Anyway, we snuck out for a cigarette. And she was 15, I was 14.
Bad girl.
Bad. And anyway, we walked around the corner for about a block to get away from the house, and of course we were sneaking, and suddenly we saw this thing in the sky, and it was coming really rapidly towards us. It was sort of a turquoise green, blue, yellowy thing, that, you know, when a top spins and you see the different colors
changing?
Yeah. It was like that, except most of the colors were green, yellow, and blue.
And you had seen planes in the sky before, right?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, this was not a plane. This was a blue-green egg, fried egg thing shape.
And you know what's funny, though, and as you continue with your story, lots of UFO reports from Ecuador.
Oh, really?
Lots of them.
Well, this is why. This is one of the reasons I'm so thrilled that you have this show, because I have been wanting, I'll continue with the story in a sec, but I've been wanting to get in touch with my friend Doris ever since this happened, because she's the only person who can corroborate with me that this actually did happen. And for years and years, I suppressed the memory, and around the harmonic convergence, it all came out, which was 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what happened to us was that we saw this ship coming towards us, and we got really, really scared. And in our memory, we ran away from it.
You think you did.
That's right. But when we got back, we had left the house at 9:20. When we got back to her place, her parents were frantic. They were looking. They had been looking everywhere for us. They were about to phone the police. And it was 1:30 in the morning, and we had left the house at 9:20, and all we did was light a cigarette and run away.
You've lost a couple hours of time somewhere.
Four hours of time. And anyway,
you don't remember anything happening, though, huh?
I didn't remember for a long time. All I know is that her parents were really upset with us, and they packed me into a taxi and sent me home, and she was never allowed to see me again.
That was the end of it?
That was the end of her and I. Her parents kept us away from each other. And then, of course, she was an Army brat, so I lost touch. I went back to the States, and who knows what happened to her. But later, after around the harmonic convergence time, I started having a lot of really strange dreams.
And that was in 87, I think, right? 1987.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was 20 years later. And I was having dreams of being on spaceships and being shown sacred sites with lots of other people. And recently I've been reading more and more books about abduction,
mm-hmm,
and many people speak of this. And anyway, I went to a regressionist, and this lady, she put a Peruvian crystal on my stomach. And I ended up spinning wildly and going right back into the experience. And it turned out that we had been on the ship. We had been on the ship, and we had been asked to...
Do you know if she tape-recorded that session with you?
She did, and it's just horrifying that she never gave it to me.
Oh.
I'm also looking for this woman. I know she was going to publish a book.
Well, let me ask you this. If you find her...
Yes.
And I don't know how long you've been looking for her. But...
Well, her husband is Chief Hidden Wolf, who's a West Coast chief here. and I have completely lost
touch. Well, let me tell you something. After this program, somebody may know somebody, and we may find out, because I would love to broadcast, with your permission, that session of that regression, just to hear what you had to say.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, I actually had a couple of sessions with her, and the stuff that I'm remembering from those sessions is just unbelievable. And a lot of it has to do with what the previous caller said. And there are individuals on this planet, myself probably being one of them, that are here to hold certain energies. And, it's not a job that I've chosen to do, I don't think, because when I agreed to do it, I was pretty young.
In the session, can you recall what these entities, beings look like?
You know, so much has been published now about the way they look.
Well, that, the way some of them look, at least.
The way some of them look. I would be hard pressed to say whether it was memory or whether it was, you know.
All right, that's fair enough.
I believe that they were grazed. Yeah, but I would like to hear the session so that I can remember.
Yeah. Well, you do me a favor. If you find out where she is, or if somebody contacts us,
yes,
we'll let each other know, but I'd like to get that tape.
That would be really, really wonderful. And if Doris is out there somewhere, my friend Doris, please contact the show. And if I could leave my number with you guys.
I'll put you on hold. You can give it to Tom, okay?
Yeah, I would just love to get in touch with this lady because we have a story.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, give them your information, and if anything happens, we'll keep in touch. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you are on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
From Seattle.
Hi there.
How you doing? I hope I'm not the last person to know about this, but several months ago there was a link on our site, and it was about this person who was hiking through some mountain somewhere.
I know what you're going to say, and he found a camera.
Yeah.
Developed the photographs.
Yeah.
I think what happened to that is it ended up being some kind of promotion for something that this person was doing. And it was a promotional gimmick campaign that nobody knew about. And he finally admitted on his website, of which I do not remember anymore,
that this was
a promotion for something he was doing. And so to answer the question in my psychic mind, what was on that film? Really nothing. And how disappointing that was, huh?
Really. Yeah, I waited till March, and I looked and
yeah.
Didn't hear anything, and I was just thinking about the last few days. I was like, you know, what was the big deal? You know?
Yeah, I did the same thing you did.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, George.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's what it was. And we checked in March, and right at the end of March, when he was supposed to reveal the revelation of what was on this film, turned out to be something about something he was doing in a little old get-rich scheme. West of the Rockies, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. We'll go to the East. Hello.
Hello, this is the East.
Hello, East.
Hey, this is Michael from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I got a great story for you, but first I have to tell you, I know I've seen one skyfish anyways, or rod. Rods are skyfish better to me, but nonetheless. It was at a local little airport around here, more of a bigger airstrip with a nice little office. But anyhow, this thing was, I'd went outside to, the last lady smoking nasty smoke, you know, and a buddy of mine was with me, and there were a lot of little lights around this place. Anyhow, there was something moving just at the end of a ramp we were on, kind of like a 10-foot wheelchair ramp, I guess, leading up to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a light, what looked like a light, floating down. Well, I got a better look at this. It was probably 10 feet in the air. And I said to my buddy, I was surprised. I was like, hey, dude, check this out. And we kind of ran up on this thing, and I swear I surprised it. It was probably 4 or 5 inches long and about as big around as a Husky pencil. And it would glow neon blue.
I mean, did it look like an animal or just a thing?
Well, yeah, no, it looked like an animal, actually. It moved, and I swear, when I came up on it, I came on it kind of quick from, you know, still four or 5 feet away. And it jumped when I came up on it. And it had little, well, appendages, I guess. They looked kind of like leaves.
Okay, like we've seen in some of these pictures.
Right.
All right, like, you know, like a, I don't know, like a seal would have or something like that?
Yeah, it looked like a leaf, and it had veins like a leaf, but they were glowing lighter blue than the, you know, the just the substance of the leaf, I guess, except for the outer edge. And they were moving so fast that, you know, like I've heard you guys talk about before, it might have been moving at a higher vibration.
Could be, but you definitely saw it in the air first, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was no more than several feet away from this thing, and my buddy saw it, too.
And what? How did it disappear? How did it escape?
Well, it just, there was, like I said, there were lights around, you know, little lights here and there. Well, there was a taller light, like a street light, on the corner of this place. And it just flew up into the light and disappeared.
Let me ask you, if you were really close to it, would you have tried to have grabbed the thing?
Oh, I don't know. I might have. If I had a net, you know it.
Oh, I mean, with your bare hands.
Oh, that's a good question, George.
I'm not sure I would.
I'm not sure I would either, but that was one instance.
Okay, I'm running out of time. I'm up to the top of the hour, but
and I've got a great story. I guess I'll have to try.
Save it. Save it for Friday or the next time we open up the phone lines. Appreciate that. But now that's a pretty good story of a person who has witnessed some kind of a rod. But I'm not sure. I would not grab the thing with my bare hands. Heck, no. I'm a brave guy, but I'm not going to touch that gooey thing. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. William Henry, my guest. Harmonic Concordance and some other things. Don't go away.
Can't believe what you're hearing? Listen to it again when you sign up for Streamlink at www.coasttocoastam.com. It's only 15 cents a day.